Good morning, again. This is part one of part two. Second part's next week, something like that. We've entitled it, Scott Likes Titles, so I had to think of a title. The Significance of Being Insignificant. So if you don't feel insignificant, I'm going to help you along today. And then maybe I can cure your illness next week. So we have a basic scripture, the text that's going to be used both weeks as our springboard. And so we're going to use Isaiah chapter 40, a portion of it. And from that we will derive what we want to talk about this morning, plus it will open the door to what we want to bring to a conclusion next week. It's all about God. In fact, the biggest word in our vocabulary is not a long word, it's a short word. God. And if I were to say, well, here's a piece of paper, I want you to write like three words that you would describe God, do you think we would have a unanimous opinion or unanimous consensus of what those three words are? I think not. Because the idea of God is different to different folks, even Christians, and how they relate to the Lord. So much so that it's been kind of put forth that you tell me about your God and I'll tell you about your faith. You tell me about your God and I'll tell you about your walk with God. God is the center of the universe, the hub of the wheel. And so God then becomes a big word in our vocabulary because it's all about Him. Here we go. Isaiah 40, verse 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? The Holy One. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? Who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. To whom do you compare God? Comparison is what we use to understand a lot about life. Someone said, a tall man just walked into the auditorium. You say, how tall is he? I said, 5'10". You say, well, that's not very tall. I said, well, who are you comparing it with? Of course, comparison has a lot to do with how we're comparing. And so we say, well, she can run really fast. How fast is fast? Well, then we come up with a comparison. So we use comparisons all the time, and God recognizes that, and then he says, who would you compare with me? Who's out there that's even close that you could use as a comparison? Well, obviously, there is no comparison. And so the two great words that brings all of God's qualities together, everything that you just put on your little piece of paper, your three words, it matters not here, there, over here, all those words put together, if we were to package them, put them all together, what one word or words would best describe all of it from a biblical standpoint? There's two of them. One is greatness. And the other is glory. We can talk about the compassion of God, the love of God, the fear of God. We talk about other attributes of God, even His holiness. But it all comes down that it's part of His greatness, and it's packaged in His glory. In fact, we talk about the majesty of God. Majesty is from the Latin, from which we get the word, from based on greatness. Great is our God. Great is He in all of His ways. We attach words like splendor and majesty. These are all descriptive terms of our great God. And there's no one comparable to Him. Because if you think about it, everything that God has created is over here. It matters not whether it's that little sphere called earth, whether it's the heavens above, whether it's the angels and all that is above us, the heavens and all of it belongs over here, but God is over here. He's a category of His own. There's none like Him. And all of this is brought into being by the Word of God. And He Himself stands alone. There's none like Him. And God said, I live in unapproachable light. 1 Timothy 6:16. I live in unapproachable light that no man can ever see me. We can't stand that. We can't take the radiance of the real personality of God. All we see is the transcendence of God as it's handed down through us through what we call theophanies, and that is God then appearing to us in a form or in some way that we can relate to without dying. I'm kind of against dying. That's low on my list, at least right now. Everyone will have our time, but I just soon not do it that way. And that's why when the high priest walked into those holy of holies once each year and split the veil, he stood in the presence of God. That was just the manifestation of God. And even in that, he was fearful of his life. And you think of the apostle Saul of Tarsus as he was traveling in Acts 9, and he encountered Jesus Christ, and a bright light shined, the glory of God shined down upon him. It was such that he was left blind. God is so far removed from us, so far different from us. And in that, I hope this morning we can just kind of understand that. In order to grasp that, I'm going to make us very, very tiny. So that, get with it. You're going to feel insignificant when we get done. So let's look at Psalm 66. We got a couple of psalms we want to read. One is 66 and one is 96. Verse 1. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your deeds. So great in Your power that Your enemies cringe before You. All the earth bows down to You. They sing praise to You. They sing praise to Your name. Come and see what God has done. How awesome His works in man's behalf. So in all of this, then I can say, how do I see God? I see God in His activities and how it affects me. Do you have any story you can tell about God? Is this auditorium not a testimony of something God has done? If you were part of it at all? I mean, there's things that's happened here. If you knew the story behind them and the testimony that goes with them, they bring tears to your eyes. Only God could do that. And these are simple things for Him. Have you been brought to tears to have a friend or a family member come to Christ and see their life changed and say, how awesome is my God? Have you had anything in your life that you can track back and say, here's how God worked in my life? I'll give you a simple story. I don't usually use my own stories, but I will share one this morning. I left home when I was 15. I jumped in a car one evening. I had $10 in a suitcase, and I was on my way to college. I skipped the last 2 years of high school, and I was being taken to college and because to get away from a very toxic situation, which it seemed like I was kind of the instigator, or at least part of the chemistry of it. And so it was best that I be taken out of my home. And I got up in Tennessee, and I thought, you know, I don't know if this is the right thing or not. I mean, it happened so fast. I didn't even know what I was doing. It was 7:30 one night, and 11 o'clock that very night, I was in a car, and I was out of the house on my way to Iowa, where I'd never been, with a suitcase and $10 bill with people I'd just met. And then in Tennessee, I had to go down to the drugstore because I was already shaving then. Some of you need a shave. Oh, anyway, I shaved then. And so I went to buy a razor in kind of a country store, drugstore, whatever mix. I remember I had a suitcase and $10. And I was right at that point in time where I was thinking, well, Lord, am I really doing the right thing? I mean, you start backtracking in your mind and thinking, are we on the right track? Is this what God wants me to do? And I came around the corner, and there on the floor was a $10 bill. I've never found $10 since then. And I took the $10 up to the counter, and I told them I had found this $10. And they said, well, you know, we'll keep it 3 days, and then you can have it. And I thought, well, that's fine, but I won't be here 3 days from now. I'm just here overnight. We're on our way to Rushville, Indiana. And so we took off. But finding the $10 said, what an awesome God. For a kid. And that family came to Rushville later on and gave me that $10. That's just a tiny story. But it's the kind of story that stops you in your tracks and says, what an awesome God. We can't sing it loud enough. We can't pray it enough. We can't adore him enough. His might and greatness is beyond everything. Psalm 96, let's add that one. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in his splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. The word glory carries the idea of significance. It carries the idea of impressive. It's the idea that in his infiniteness of all his characteristics and how he relates to us, that his radiance comes to us as his glory. It's his significance. And there's no one more significant for the creature than his creator. It's not about the creature, it's about the creator. It's not about the pottery, it's about the potter. And so it is that God then if there's one concept that encompasses all the perfections of God, it's his glory. I want to add another scripture. 1 Chronicles 29. David's prayer. End of his life. In fact, he dies later in the chapter. David's prayer. Praise the Lord. Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt, to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and we praise your glorious name. No work of God is greater in glory than his creativeness when he created. In fact, and we'll go back to Isaiah 40. When God encountered Job, at the end of the book of Job, he kind of rebukes Job. And he said, who is this that darkeneth my sanctuary here with your lack of knowledge? This is a paraphrase. I'm allowed to do that because I'm up here. Brace yourself like a man. I'm going to ask you some questions. Now, we like to ask God questions. Bring him forth. I got lots of questions. God says, let's try it the other way around. I have a question or two for you. First question. I mean, since you know everything, since you're so confident, since you've got your act together, you ought to be able to tell me, where were you before you were born? Oh, okay, I'll think on that one. Let's try the second one, you know? But you don't get very far, and he says, where were you when all the morning stars shouted and rejoiced and praised? What was going on? Well, if you look at the rest of what he says there, it has to do with the foundation of the world, his creativeness. And so many have given this thought and said, what was happening here is that God gathered all the angels and he said, watch me. Let there be light. And they watched as God created something out of nothing. And the heavens and the earth and the sea and the animals. And finally he reaches down, he takes a little bit of soil and he said, there's a man. And the angels look at that and say, what is he? Who is he? And it says the angels sang. They rejoiced. In other words, it was one big, for the angels, a big object lesson that said, wow, what a great God we've got that he can, out of nothing, he can make something, make all of that out of nothing. How great and wonderful is our God. They were already singing, holy, holy, holy is our Lord. But now they could add another verse to that. How great is our God that he can create like this. Psalm 40, 26. Lift your eyes, look to the heavens. Who created all these? He brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. I brought something. I know you can see it in the back row. See it? Very good. You got good eyesight. What is it? Well, it's a pin. I picked one that had a white head on it so you could at least have a chance. And then I put tape on it so that I didn't donate blood while I was showing you. Because that would happen too. And Mike happened to mention something about the Hubble telescope. In 2004, they took the Hubble telescope and they zeroed in on the Orion constellation on a patch of sky that was no bigger than a grain of sand held at arm's length. And they watched that for 400 orbits over the course of 11 days. And they found 10,000 galaxies that we didn't know about. Now, it wasn't that long ago that someone had put forth, you know, there's 100 billion galaxies. And then it became 200 billion galaxies. And I believe we're up to 500 billion galaxies. Are you starting to feel tiny? Oh, I'm just working on it now. Wait a minute. And out of all those 500 million galaxies, there's hundreds of millions of stars in every galaxy. A fellow by the name of George Wills gave the commencement address at Miami University. And he talked about this a little bit. And he said, you know, our sun, that the Earth goes around, is one of 400 billion stars that are part of the Milky Way, which is a galaxy. And a tiny galaxy, almost insignificant. And he said, you know, if you took all the stars in the universe and you reduced them to the size of the head of a pin, and you put it out there in the middle of the Orange Bowl, or for our purposes, since maybe you've never been to the Orange Bowl, neither have I, except on television to watch football, so let's just go to Mile High. I'm going to go out on the 50-yard line, and I'm going to put that down there. Pretty insignificant, isn't it? In fact, I better watch where I put it or I won't find it. How many stars are there? It would fill Mile High Stadium to overflowing with pinheads. Wow. How about if I said, you know, you'd have to do it twice? It'd fill it twice. Would you go with 10 times? How would that be? So many pinheads that would fill Mile High Stadium 10 times. Well, let's cut to the chase. I'll give you the bottom line and tell you how tiny you are. You'd have to fill the stadium 3 billion times for the stars that are out there. 3 billion times with pins like this, you would fill Mile High Stadium to overflowing. You feel kind of important now? I don't. Pretty tiny. It kind of says how immense, how big is my God, how wonderful is my God. And there's the whole universe, all of this, all of these billions of stars to God. It says in Hebrews 1 that he could roll them up like a shirt. He could roll them up like a garment. He could just kind of gather the edges and set them over there. That's how big my God is. The God with which I have to do. When I say, our Father in heaven, this is who I'm talking to. So to magnify God and to worship God and to glorify God and to acknowledge God, whether it's in public adoration or your lifestyle, we owe it to Him. We owe it to Him not just because we're Christians, but because we're human beings. We are the creature. He is the Creator. And that's why He says in Romans 1 that they glorified not God. They never gave thanks, nor did they glorify God. The human beings of this earth have rejected Him and turned Him away. So when it comes to understanding God and trying to give some descriptive words, there are no words. I can't come up with any words. And I can say stupendous and awesome and majesty and glorious and splendor and on and on and on, but He's bigger than that. Way bigger than that. And so I come to Ecclesiastes, and the writer of Ecclesiastes says, you know, there's a time when words fail. There's a time to speak, and there's a time to be silent. Absolutely silent. So instead of words, we bow in adoration in silence. And Habakkuk 2:20, which is your memory verse for the week, moving memory. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. Because He's a great God. And He's beyond us by so far, so immense the distance. How insignificant we are in the great scheme of things. But next week, it'll all change. Bow with me in prayer. Father, we're quiet right now. We want to burst forth with praise, to adore You, to sing of Your majesty, Your goodness, Your love, Your grace. Just, Lord, to just join the angels in proclaiming how glorious You are. And even when words fail us, Lord, we just humbly just sit in silence, knowing that words fail us. Father, I pray that we might realize that the center of our universe is You. And to adore You and to magnify You is what we are all about. Not us, but You. And I pray that You'll bless each of us to our homes. We look forward, Lord, to being in Your house next week. Lord, to know more about how this bridge works between who You are and how little we are. But we know, Lord, that in Your grace, in Your love, and Your mercy, You have bridged that gap. And we are so blessed that we can be called Your children. We give You thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.